Nate Thurman and Al Attles joins us on Sports Byline USA. I've known these two gentlemen for a long time, and not only were they successful in the sport they played, but they left their mark not only on the sport, but also on the game of professional basketball. Nate, of course, the Hall of Fame center in the NBA, played 14 years, most of those with the Warriors, but also with the Bulls and the Cavaliers, a seven-time NBA All-Star. He was selected to the NBA All-Defensive Team, first or second, five times. And he had a great career, and of course, he played with Al Attles, the former NBA player, coach, and general manager who's been more than 50 years with the Warriors organization, played 11 seasons with the Warriors, and was the team's head coach for 13 and a half seasons, and then he was the general manager for three seasons as well, and he guided the Rick Barry-led Warriors to the 1975 NBA championship, thus becoming only the second African-American coach to win an NBA title, the first being Bill Russell. I wanted to have both these gentlemen with me together because I wanted to have people listen and learn about a period of time in professional basketball that these gentlemen represented. And I'm going to start with you, Nate, first of all, and Al, feel free to jump in and play off of it any way you want. In the era in which you both played basketball in the NBA, how would you describe that period of time? Nate?
Well, it was kind of like the beginning. I mean, I forget exactly when the league started, but we started getting more recognition, and I'm not talking about just in San Francisco, but nationwide. I remember at one time the finals were tape delayed, and so that let you know that we were not a full-fledged entity. But it started to change. Things started to change as far as travel. Things started to change as far as where we stayed a little bit, not anything like it is today, and also the difference in the squads. When I first started playing, Al and I and maybe four other guys, black, I'm saying, maybe five guys on the team were black. Now today it's 11, 10, 9, and in some cases 12. This was before the Europeans came in, so there have been big differences there. So the NBA has grown from the eight teams that Al and I started out that was in the league, four in the West, four in the East, and now it's 30. So we won't even get into the money. We won't even get into the athleticism of the athletes, better and better. So all in all, I think it's a much better product all the way around.
Well, I think growing up in New Jersey, it was a big thing for me living in Newark to go over to see the New York Knickerbockers playing in Madison Square Garden. And, of course, that was my favorite team back then. There were only eight teams in the league, so I really didn't know very much about the Philadelphia team. And so when I graduated college, I was told that I was drafted by the Warriors. Didn't make much difference to me because I had accepted a job teaching school at a junior high school in Newark, and I really wasn't concerned about it because, going to a small college, and back then it was name recognition more than anything which decided whether you made a team or not. So I knew I wasn't going to make the team, and I was drafted by Philadelphia, and they had, a guy by the name of Will Chamberlain, who you may have heard of, a guy by the name of Guy Rogers, Woody Salisbury, and Andy Johnson. Plus, there were only four African-Americans on each team, so Al Attles was number five, so I accepted a job teaching school. And I remember at the airport, going on in preseason, a gentleman came up to me, a sky cap. He said, "Congratulations." I said, "For what?" He said, "You made the Warriors." I said, "There's no way I'm going to make the Warriors." He said, "They're going to trade Woody Salisbury, who was the rookie of the year before Wilt came." So it just kind of worked. I'm a big believer in being in the right place at the right time. And so I was able to get lucky and I made the team. But, when I talk about basketball and talk about the great players, one is sitting right across, from me right now, and that's Nate, who I think when you talk about the best, he was among the best that ever played the game. And I really, really appreciated what he did for me, both as a teammate and as a coach. So, my everything I ever could say on a, you know, positive note, it has to be about him.
One of the things I've always wondered about, it was the way African-Americans looked at basketball as they were growing up, because I've talked with both of you, and the interest primarily, at least at the early stages in the era that you guys played in, they just wanted to get a job. They didn't think about getting drafted into the NBA. It was a kind of a second thought. Why did the game evolve to being a dominant sport for African-Americans?
Well, I think that, you know, Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, guys like that brought it to the forefront, Oscar Robertson. And then when it started being on TV more and more, then you started to take notice. And as Al said, he followed the Knickerbockers. I saw one game a week that was the Detroit Pistons. And the Detroit Pistons had a guy by the name of Ray Felix. And I used to tell my mother, I want to be just like Ray Felix. And when I stopped growing at 6'11", he was 6'11", my mother said, well, you always says you want to be like Ray Felix. So, you know, things started to happen. I didn't know the day that I was drafted, somebody came into the lunchroom and said, you were drafted by the San Francisco Warriors. And I said, no, I can't be true, because they have Wilt. But I didn't even know if it was draft day. So you know how far things have changed since that time.
Well, Nate said something that resonates with me, the fact that he was in class or wherever. I was in the dining room, and a lady, a young woman came up to me and said, congratulations. I said, for what? She said, I just heard it on the radio. You're a professional player. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, well, I have to go to class, because if I'm not in class, I won't get out of school. So I went to class, and I really never thought about it very much. And like I said, I had accepted a job teaching school in Newark, and that's all I really wanted to do. And things just worked out. But I'm a big believer about being in the right place at the right time. I just happened to be in the right place.
When I take a look at the influence of African-American players in the sport of basketball, the thing I think about more than anything else is that it gave them acceptance. It brought them into the mainstream of American culture, because for such a long time, you all were excluded from it. Did you have a sense of that?
Well, not really, you know, because being in Akron, Ohio, I wasn't privy to a lot of big-time sports, whether, you know, we had the Cleveland Indians, and I used to follow Larry Doby. Sure. I knew about Jackie Robinson. But I didn't really equate myself, like Al was saying, being a professional basketball player. I went to school on a scholarship. I knew I was getting better, but I still had no aspirations of being drafted in the NBA. Not until my junior year, when something happened that let me know that I had a shot. But I just wanted to, I was going to be a teacher just like Al. I was in physical ed, and I was going to be a gym teacher. Possibly a grade school coach or something like that. So what happened to me, just like Al was saying, was a dream that I really didn't have. It just happened, and then things progressed from there.
Well, I think going along with what Nate said, of course, I'm a little bit older than Nate, not much, but a little bit older. And what I had to really think in terms of was the most important thing that I got out of basketball was a scholarship to go to college. And I graduated, and I was very, very happy about that. And I was offered a job playing in the Eastern League in New Jersey, which was big, big up in Pennsylvania, and we'd go up and do play back there. So I never really thought about playing professional basketball on the NBA level. But that's why I said being in the right place at the right time, at least as far as I was concerned. But, you know, I always think in terms of the people that you meet along the way. And, you know, there's a person sitting on my left who I was so happy when we got him. And I really couldn't understand some things, because Wilt and I were very, very close. And the Warriors had Wilt. And we drafted Nate. And Nate really, really, I think, had to really understand some things, because he bided his time. And there were two guys in the league. There was one by the name of Wilt, and Russell, obviously. And then later on, there's a guy named Abdul-Jabbar. But Nate Thurman, I think, probably was right in the mix with all those players. But he didn't, you know, have a fit because he didn't play right away. He took his time. And you know, I've always said when you talk about the great ones, he should always be one of those that you always talk about.
We're talking basketball, a very special era with two men that left their mark on the game. Nate Thurman, Hall of Fame center in the NBA and former NBA player, coach, and general manager, and the coach of the Warriors when they won in 1975 the NBA title, Al Attles. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.